last night it was pretty late, frankly, for the votes that were due today, that will be due probably while we're sitting here. So I'm still doing my best, but I would echo Justice Huddle's point. I thought at the beginning that the main audience for everything would be the chief, and we'd all just do whatever he says. That's
always been the case.
That's right, yeah. But I think the audience for the petitions, at least in my case, is me. And I don't have my clerks read very much of them anymore. I wanted their opinions at the beginning. It was very helpful. But I have lots of other things for them to do, and now I will give them discrete assignments when I need it, rather than to use their time on petitions if it's something where I know for sure I want a response, or I know for sure I'm going to vote for a study memo or whatever.
So I don't use an iPad at all. And I have moved from initially printing some to a point where I don't do that anymore. It just is not feasible. It's not practical to work that way. So I have sort of forced myself to do the work of reading petitions completely electronically. Sometimes, depending on where I'm sitting, I may be on a laptop, so have only one relatively small screen. Sometimes I have multiple screens, again, depending on where I am. But I am a scroller, and so I start at the very top and figure out who's involved, and so identify first whether there may be any issue about participating. But then I continue scrolling from there and see if the table of contents is going to be my friend. Sometimes it is, and it gives me a great roadmap and just helps me get oriented to what it is this is about. Sometimes it says only, you know, that the argument begins at page 9. And so in that case, I'll then head over to bookmarks, which I'm very grateful for, and do a little bit of jumping around and back and forth from there. I almost always begin with the summary of the argument. Sometimes an introduction, it's called introduction. Sometimes it's called reasons to grant. And digest that entirely. That helps me decide, do I need to know more about facts before I move on to the argument, or in some cases it's more helpful to just go dive all the way into the appendix and figure out what the Court of Appeals said. Its description might be, it's definitely going to be more neutral, and sometimes that is the best way to get oriented. But typically I don't get to the Court of Appeals opinion until later in the process, and so I spend more time in the actual petition first.
Yeah, we, as you can see, we all do it a little differently, but I read everything on the screen. So I either read it on petitions on laptop or desktop, unless I'm traveling, which is a lot, but then I read it on iPad, where I can still take notes. And I start at the beginning, and quit when I get lost, which is about page 4 or 5 sometimes. So if you read our opinions, they pretty much all follow the same form, and the first 5, 6, 8, 10 sentences tell you what the next 35 pages are about. And that's what we look for in a petition. You're just trying to get in your mind as quickly as possible what the fuss is here. And sometimes you can tell from the table of contents. I know Brian Garner has suggested that that can be a very useful tool. We put the statement of the case in the petition requirements years ago because it's basically the first page of a study memo. It's a little different form, but it's all that information so that you come away from a page. Who were the judges? What was the court? What was the basic issue? What happened? And then go to something like the summary of the argument, probably not the facts. More and more, petitions are including a reasons to grant review at the beginning. I think Brother Hatchell started this some years ago, and it's a really good idea. We should put it in the rule, but it's a really useful tool to see kind of basically where the petition's going to be going. Now, that said, if the chief reason to grant review is because the skies are falling and the system is in peril. That's probably not going to be very helpful. But if the reason to grant review is because there's this split in the courts of appeals, or there's this legal issue that hadn't been developed, it's really good to know that at the beginning. And then when I do kind of run out of steam reading the petition, I flip over to the courts of appeals, which I find uniformly very helpful. Because they too, pretty much all the courts of appeals follow the same pattern with a statement in the beginning, but this is the basic issue, this is what we're going to do, this is basically why we're going to do it, and then get into the intricacies of the facts and the argument.
All right, excellent. So I think a lot of us were intrigued by news that the court is considering a new petition stage process that would more closely mimic the Supreme Court of the United States. And I'm sure probably all of us here and watching at home have seen this, but basically it would be the court granting review before briefs on the merits are asked for. So I'm just going to open it up kind of with a very open-ended question. Kind of, I'd like to know each of your thoughts about this.
Here's the first presenter.
Yes, I'm pro doing more of that. Our rules don't need to be changed for us to be able to do it. We've done it on spare occasions, but the rules ought to be changed to allow the petition for review to be written in a way in every case such that no one has to write a brief on the merits if they don't know that they're going to have a case decided by the Supreme Court of Texas. And I've just always thought that doing a brief on the merits when you're still trying to persuade the court to take the case or to not